But I want to give another shout out to Pastor Jeff. And he brought just a fantastic message last week. Did you all appreciate that? Those of you who are here thought just such a sound message. Go ahead, give it up for him. Give it up for the Lord. And, you know, as we were going through the worship this morning, I noticed a theme, and even Pastor Mark, when he was talking in the prayer time, there's this theme about the name of Jesus and the power, the authority that comes with the name of Jesus. And Pastor Jeff did such a good job conveying that last week. He talked about how there's no greater name than the name of Jesus. And it's not some secret code to where, oh, if I say Jesus, then that's my secret passcode and it's going to be like a magic trick and all this stuff happens. But there is authority in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is also an identifier. Say, I'm with Jesus. I'm a representative of Jesus. I'm a child of God because of Jesus. So it's so important to remember the significance of the name of Jesus, the name that is above any other, in every other name. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is above all. We don't come for us. We come for Jesus, to lift up the name of Jesus. When we come in after our pre-service prayer time, the consistent message is let's lead them to Jesus. It's not the Andy show. It's not the Becky show. It's not the Mark or the Jeff show. It's not the Cam show, the Zeph show. This is the name of Jesus show. We lift up the name of Jesus. And so with that in mind, I want to give you just kind of a lay of the land to let you know where we're at, where we're going as we start this new year. So this morning is actually going to be a standalone message as we get ready to introduce the new year. But then the next 3 weeks after that, the goal is I'm going to do a series called I Am a Church Member. It's based off of a book. It's founded in Scripture, but it's based off of a book by a pastor, a guy named Tom Rainer. Some of you may be familiar with him. So Tom Rainer was a pastor. He was a CEO for a season with Lifeway Christian Resources, which is one of the premier Christian companies as far as curriculum and providing resources to church. But he wrote this book called I Am a Church Member, and it teaches us how to be healthy members of a church family. And so we're going to walk through this. How do I become a healthy member of the church family? What does that look like? And so I'm excited for us to take that journey together over the next few weeks after this week. And then in February, the goal is we'll resume with our Acts series. So we kind of hit pause going through the book of Acts as we moved into the Christmas season. But we'll hit play or resume, however you want to look at it, beginning in February, and we'll pick up with our series in the book of Acts. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of being consistent. Now, I'm not just talking about church attendance, where I'm coming down and y'all, oh, I've noticed you've only been at church once the last month. You need to be more consistent. Not that, all right? But consistent in every area of our lives, but more specifically in our walk with the Lord. So we're going to talk about that. But this morning, I want to start out. I can't really swing this because I don't have my other mic, but I brought my trusty 9-iron with me this morning. We got any golfers here? If you're a golfer, just kind of wave at me. All right, I want to see. All right, Dennis is going to challenge y'all. All right, if you can beat Dennis, he'll pay for your golf, right? All right. So I am not much of a golfer. I enjoy golfing. I'm not that great at golfing. I haven't golfed. I was thinking about this the other day. I haven't golfed since probably prior to COVID. And so I haven't been out on the golf course very much. So I'm not really what you would consider a good golfer. But I would say that I'm a golfer that probably has a fair amount of potential. How many of y'all have potential? Like, hey, I got potential. All right. So potential is, you know, when you have a fair amount of a chance to be decent at something, or most would say that if you have potential, it means actually that you have an above average chance or an above average opportunity to be pretty darn good at something. That means you got potential. So if you look at my family, Dave and I were talking about, or he was talking about his family athletic history a little bit, and I was thinking about my family athletic history. I'm like, okay, my family is pretty athletic, so I must have decent athletic potential when it comes to golfing. And so I was thinking about my first cousin when he was in high school. He was an all-state football player, and not all-state like the insurance, all-state meaning he was one of the best football players in the state in his division. And so that's in my genes. Both my sisters played high school volleyball. They played volleyball in college as well. My dad, he was a dual sport athlete in high school. He played high school baseball. He played high school basketball. And I can't vouch for how good he was in high school because I didn't see him play, obviously. But I can vouch that as an adult, I watched my dad play church league softball. And I tell you what, I feel like every time he went up to bat, he got a line drive base hit to the outfield. Line drive base hit. He wasn't a power hitter. He wasn't a guy that would hit over the fence, but line drive base hit, line drive base hit. And then basketball, speaking of line drives, his shot is one of those line drive shots. My math teacher in high school would say he needs a better parabola. You know, he needs a better arch, but it didn't matter with him because he's got this line drive shot and he is on the money. My dad is a guy who can make 100 out of 100 foul shots. And he'll go to the YMCA or whatever. He'll practice that. He can make 100 out of 100 foul shots. And when it comes to golf, my dad is a good golfer. He shoots probably 40 to 45 range for 9 holes, which is really respectable for a normal amateur golfer. On me, on the other hand, I remember when I first started golfing, I would shoot, Dennis, you'll love this, I remember shooting probably high 70s, low 80s for 9 holes. All right, that's pretty good for 18 holes, but for 9 holes, it's not good. So with golf, anybody who knows anything about golf, you know that the lower the score, the better. All right, so my dad would shoot between 40, 45 for 9 holes. I would start, you know, shooting, you know, high 70s, low 80s. But then something happened. I started getting out my 9-iron, and I started practicing. I started practicing. I started reading articles and watching videos on swing mechanics, right? I ordered these things called birdie balls. They look like hard plastic hollow marshmallows, and I would practice with those birdie balls. And then I would go golfing more frequently. And then I became more consistent in my swing. And I found a swing that I could be pretty consistent with. I could hit the ball straight. And so I would repeat that over and over again. And before you knew it, like, I was for 9 holes shooting low to mid 50s. Like, I made a lot of progress, and then I just kind of gave up golf. I don't know why. It was just a season in my life, I guess. I still enjoy it. I just hadn't been. But what happened when I gave it up, guess what happened? I started regressing. Started regressing because I didn't have that consistency anymore. I didn't have that consistency anymore. But I still have potential. You know what? We all have potential, right? But potential is achieved through development. You know, the high school player who gets recruited to play college basketball or college football, he's got potential. But the question is, will he live up to his potential? See, potential is only achieved through development. Development only happens by doing the right things the right way consistently. Say that again. Development only happens by doing the right things the right way consistently. That doesn't just go for golf. That goes for anything in life. That goes for your relationship with God as well. But I want you to think about your potential. Think about your potential as it relates to your faith, as it relates to your relationship with God. Do you realize that you can have as strong of a walk with God as your pastor? Do you realize that? You have that potential. Do you realize that you could meet or even exceed your pastor's understanding of Scripture? You understand that you have that potential. Do you realize that you have the potential to shake the gates of hell through your prayer life? Do you understand? Do you realize that you have the potential to rescue people from the path of hell through your witness. Oh, not me. I could never do that. Guess what? You have the potential. You have the potential. You have the potential to be a spiritual mover and a spiritual shaker in a world that's broken. But I tell you what, you don't achieve your potential through accident. You don't stumble on fulfilling your potential. The only way that potential becomes a reality is through consistency. So let's talk for a moment about the value of being consistent. Okay, we're starting off the new year. Again, happy new year. Happy 2026. How you feeling? You're like, all right, new year. Others, you're like, it's not been off to a good start. All right. But we start this new year, and it seems like whenever a new year comes, people are like, oh, new year, you know what? It would probably be a good thing if I had some goals in my life. So let's see. What are some good goals? I know. Let's see. I'll spend more time with my family. I work out. I read my Bible more. I'll be better financially, whatever. So we have all of these goals, all of these aspirations, and they're great. But a lot of times, they end up unfulfilled, right? At best, they get pushed back to next year. Well, I didn't fulfill it this past year, so let's try again this year. And so we set a goal, and then we kind of revert back to our normal habits, right? To whatever we're normally consistent with. And why does that happen? I don't believe it's due to a lack of good intentions. I think when we make those goals, when we make those New Year's resolutions, we have good intentions. We're like, this is the person I want to be. This is what I want to do. I don't believe that it's due to a lack of desire. I believe that within us, like, yeah, I want to be better with my finances. I want to be more healthy. I want to do this or whatever. But I think the main reason we fail is because a lot of times we want the result, we want the goal, we want the end game, but we don't want the effort. We want to be healthy, but we don't want to work out every day. We want to be financially in a good spot, but we don't want to sacrifice all the Starbucks or the 7 Brew or the daily going out to lunch, right? We want the goal without the effort. We want to just hit that fast forward button to reach the end of the goal, but what we have to understand is the goal only comes from the grind. The goal only comes from the grinding or being consistent every day or being consistent every week. That's what gets you your traction. That's what gets you your traction towards your goal. Without the grind, you don't move forward. You actually regress, kind of like me in my golf game. If you're consistent, you continue to progress. If you're inconsistent, you start to regress. That goes for every area of your life, including your relationship with God. But what consistency does is consistency moves the needle forward. My staff will tell you, any of the volunteer leaders here will probably tell you that's one of my favorite phrases, move the needle forward. Let's keep moving the needle forward. What does it mean? It means, you know what, we're not going to be where we want to be overnight. You're not going to be where you want to be overnight, but if you move the needle forward a little bit more every day, or you move the needle forward a little bit more every week, eventually we're going to get there. Or at least we're going to be a whole lot closer than when we started. That's the beauty of consistency. When you're consistent, it gets you to where you want to be. But when you're consistent, it helps you to be able to sustain that over the long haul. A lot of times in our microwave society, we're always looking for the quick fixes. A lot of times the quick fixes don't last. It's the consistency in our lives that builds up the opportunity for those things to last. It's the consistency that builds the longevity. So what that means is the things that are most important, the things that have a lasting impact, are the things that you should practice the most consistency with. The things that are most meaningful, the things that are most impactful, are the things that you need to be most consistent with. So I want to talk about three of those areas this morning. Three areas that we should strive for consistency in our lives. All three begin with C, so you can remember them better. If you're taking notes, here you go. We need to be consistent in our Christian walk, in our character, and in our conduct. Our Christian walk, our character, and our conduct. All three of those are important individually, but they also collectively are really significant. Because when the three work together, your Christian walk, your character, and your conduct, that's when you're going to reflect Christ. And guess what? Christ just so happens to be the perfect model for consistency. So we're going to look at that this morning. And it's when we reflect Christ consistently that our lasting impact increases. So I want to briefly explain how the three areas go together. Then we're going to look at each of the categories together. So here's what I want you to remember for this morning, how our Christian walk, character, and conduct go together. So our Christian walk shapes our character. Okay, say that with me. My Christian walk shapes my character, and my character shows up in my conduct. All right, let's do it again. My Christian walk shapes my character, and my character shows up in my conduct. They're all three connected. I want to first talk about our Christian walk. Again, to look at the Christian walk, we have to start with the model of consistency in the cornerstone of the Christian faith, which is Christ, right? Christ himself. See, when you're talking about a Christian walk, what we're talking about is your relationship with God. It's about having an active relationship with God, a relationship that comes through Jesus and was modeled by Jesus. So how do you begin that relationship? So this is going to be repeat for a lot of you, but if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, then this will be new to you maybe. So here's how you start the Christian walk. Your Christian walk starts by placing your faith in Jesus, by believing that he's the Son of God, that he died for your sins and rose again. That's where it starts, with the faith. And then you repent of your sins and you follow Jesus' teaching and example with your life. So real simply, the Christian walk is about having faith in Jesus and following Jesus, the two F's. Faith in Jesus and following Jesus. The question, though, is when you place your faith in Jesus, how do you follow his example for the Christian walk? What does that look like? In other words, what did Jesus do that serves as a model of consistency for our relationship with God? Well, Jesus did a lot of things, right? Well, I'm going to focus on one just for our sake this morning. One of the most consistent things that he did for his walk, for his relationship with the Father, was he communed with the Father. He communed with the Father. Now, commune, that's kind of like a King James Version word, right? Like, we don't really use commune a lot. So, very simply, here's what commune means. It means that it's just spending time with the Father. Communing with the Father is means that Jesus spent time with the Father so that he could remain in sync with him. Do you realize that being with the Father is what helps you remain in sync with him? You have to be with him in order to stay in sync with him. You just have to. We see evidence of how Jesus did that in Scripture, Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Luke tells us specifically, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus often did it. What does that mean? It was a consistent part of his routine. He withdrew so that he could spend alone time with the Father. He was consistent in communing with the Father. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, you fast forward one chapter. Jesus is getting ready to choose his disciples. But what did he do right before he chose his disciples? He went up on the mountain and he prayed. That showed, one, his desire to be with the Father, but it also showed his desire to seek the Father's will and to be fully unified with him. It wasn't like, well, this is my decision, so I'm going to choose you, 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 and you. No, he spent time with the Father so that he could be in sync with the Father. How do I know that? John 8:29, Jesus' own words. He said this, "I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me, for I always do what pleases him." John 1:29, "I do nothing on my own." 28:28, "I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me, for I always do what pleases him." The point is this, Jesus spent time with the Father to be unified with the Father in order to accomplish the will of the Father. Say that again. Jesus spent time with the Father to be unified with the Father in order to accomplish the will of the Father. And he did that consistently. He did it consistently. Now, contrast that with believers who come to the Father periodically only to ask the Father to accomplish their will, not his. You ever been guilty of that? I go to God when I need something. I go to God when I want him to do what I want him to do when I want him to do it. Would you spend time with God consistently? No, but I pray. When do you pray? When I need something? I've been guilty of that in my life. We got to be careful. Should we bring our requests to God? Yes. But we got to be careful. Are we coming to God only because we want him to do what we want him to do? Is it about coming to align our hearts with him or to try to get him to align his heart with ours? Why are you coming to the Father? If you're coming to the Father only to try to get him to accomplish your will, you need to understand that that's not a sustainable plan for Christian growth. It's just a method for trying to find a quick fix solution. I have a problem, God, fix my problem. All right, thank you. Moving on. But Jesus' method is so much more deeper than that. Our relationship with God should not be, God, I'm coming to you just when I need you to do something. But God, I'm coming to you because I love you. God, I'm coming to you because I want to be with you. God, I'm coming to you because I want my heart to be in sync with your heart. It's not, I need you to do what I want you to do. It's, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. It's not about forcing the Father's hand. It's about knowing the Father's heart. Jesus' example shows that if you want a consistency in your Christian faith, you can only attain it by knowing the Father. Not just knowing about the Father, but knowing the Father by being with the Father. The only way to know the Father well is to be with the Father often. The only way to know the Father well is to be with the Father often. Think about this. How can you know the character of God if you never open your Bible? How can you know the character of God if you don't know what God did? If you don't know what God is like, how can you know the love of the Father if you never take the time to sit at his feet? How can you hear the voice of the Father if you never come to him in prayer? You never take a moment to listen. Again, Jesus demonstrated the communion with the Father. That's the anchor for faith. The anchor of your relationship with God is communion with the Father. The more consistently you're with him, the more you know him, and the more you become like him. What that means, though, is there's no shortcut. There's no quick fix. There's no easy button. You want a deep relationship with the Father, you got to be with him. You got to be with him consistently. Consistency in your Christian walk comes from being consistently with the Father. Why? Because when you're consistently with the Father, it keeps your heart in sync with his. So seek consistency in your Christian walk by being with the Father. And as you do, that will build consistency in your character. It'll build consistency in your character. Think of character like this. Character is the condition of your heart. If your heart is healthy, then you have strong character. If your heart is not healthy, you have weak character. If you possess character, godly character, then you're somebody who adheres to moral values, who adheres to godly biblical values. If you have strong godly character, you hold tightly to truth, to honesty, to integrity, to justice. You know and do what's right because it honors the Lord. If you possess character, you believe in doing what's right and fair. Likewise, kindness and compassion are instrumental in how you view other people. Why? Because other people are seen as people to be loved, not as pawns to be used. That's if you're a person of Christian godly character. On the other hand, if you lack character, then your heart is hard, or at least it's been hardened. It's dominated by selfishness. And often your motivation is often whatever benefits you in that moment, even if it comes at the expense of other people. And so things like pleasure and vanity, deceit, all become an acceptable means to an end. Why? Because the end revolves around you and whatever it is you want. If it's all about you, that shows a weakness in your character. My hope, my belief as pastor of this church is that many of us in this room, hopefully all of us, are people of character, and that character is an overflow of your walk with God. It's an overflow of your communion with God. But if that's not you, my prayer is today that that'll change. That you'll know the Father, and you'll know what it's like to be with the Father. But perhaps you've noticed what I've noticed in my life is that when my Christian walk, when my walk with the Father is less consistent, so is my character. You ever notice that? When your walk with the Father is less consistent, it impacts your character. Why is that? Because, again, character is the condition of our heart. Your character is the condition of your heart. And when you're consistently with the Father, guess what? Your heart becomes in sync with His. You take on the character traits of the Father. But when you're not consistently with the Father, your heart starts to get out of sync with His. And when your heart starts to get out of sync with His, then it becomes more selfish. It becomes more me-focused. And the me-focused part of my heart begins to dominate because I'm not consistently with the Father, because my heart is out of sync. And when my heart is out of sync, the poison of that selfish human heart seeps into my life, often when nobody's looking and when nobody else is around, when nobody else sees. But you know what God sees? God knows. And if you're paying close enough attention, you're probably going to notice it in your life as well. So ask yourself questions like this. This is a good test for you if you want to test your character. Do I have good character, or is my character weak right now? Ask yourself questions like this. When temptation comes, do I resist it or do I give in? If I often resist it, that's a good sign that I have strong character, that my heart is in sync with the heart of the Father. But if I find myself consistently giving in to that temptation, then that shows me my character is weak. It is probably a reflection of my walk with the Father. Next, when ungodly thoughts surface, do I cast them aside or do I dwell on them? If I cast them aside, all right, my character is strong. My heart is in sync. But when I constantly begin to dwell on those impure or those ungodly thoughts, then that's a challenge to my character. When making decisions, am I more determined to discover God's will or to do it my own way? If I find myself only coming to God to try to get God to do what I want Him to do, it is all about me, and I only come to Him when I need something, that shows a weakness in my character. But if I'm coming to the Lord consistently, seeking the heart of the Father, seeking that my heart will be in sync with Him, that shows me that I'm on the right track where I need to be. So ask yourselves those questions. The goal for us ultimately is to be consistent like Christ, right? Again, we see examples of Christ in many ways about being consistent with his character. But again, I want to highlight just one. It's that he remained faithful to the Father. Jesus' walk was demonstrated by his consistent communion with the Father. But his character was demonstrated by his consistent faithfulness to the Father. Let me say that again. His walk was demonstrated by his consistent communion with the Father. His character was demonstrated by his consistent faithfulness to the Father. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, if you would. We see Jesus' character, in particularly at his during his temptation in the wilderness. So I want to read that passage this morning. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted, and he became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, and to the highest point of the temple. And he said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I'll give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. So three times Jesus was tempted by Satan. Three times the temptations came when nobody else was around. Isn't that where a lot of temptations come? Nobody else is around. Three times Jesus remained faithful to the Father by rejecting the temptation. The point is, if you want to be consistent in your character like Jesus, you've got to predetermine in your mind that I'm going to be faithful to the Father no matter what. Predetermine in your mind when the temptation comes, my loyalty is to the Father. My faithfulness is to the Father. It's like when I go out, wherever I go, my loyalty, my faithfulness is to my wife, to my family. Same thing when we go out, when we stay in wherever we're at, my faithfulness, my loyalty is first and foremost to the Lord. And remembering that when temptations come. Remember that when temptations come your way, even when those temptations, they cater to your human desires. That's why it's a temptation to begin with, right? But you know what? Faithfulness to the Lord is not about me. Again, it's about Him. It's not about my way. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God. So what does your character say about what you seek the most? What does your character say about what you seek the most? What do you do if you find that your character is inconsistent? What if you answer those questions, you're like, "Man, my character is weak. Like, how do I fix that? What do I need to do to address that?" Well, remember the foundation, which is your Christian walk. The foundation is your time with the Father. Are you being with the Father? Is your heart in sync with the Father? Because that impacts your character. Your Christian walk shapes your character, and that's important because what's in your character shows up in your conduct. What's in your character, what's inside of you, shows up in your conduct, what comes out of you. Now, if our character is the condition of our hearts, then our conduct is what flows out of that. Right? If our character is the condition of our hearts, our conduct is what flows out of that. So if you're a person of consistent character, Your conduct will show that. For instance, you go out to the restaurant this afternoon, whether it's fast food or dine in, and they mess up your order. Uh-oh. Now, because you are a person who has been with the Father, whose heart is in sync with the Father, and you have godly character, that's going to come out in your conduct. And so you're just going to kindly request that the cook redo your order. And you're going to do it kindly because your character makes you a person of gentleness and compassion that comes as a result of your Christian walk, right? On the other hand, if you're a person of inconsistent character, your conduct will reveal that as well. So instead of kindly requesting a food do-over, you mutter, you complain, you roll your eyes, you throw a little tantrum, you refuse to leave a tip. Well, you mess up my order, I'm not going to give you a tip. I'll show you. And you act that way because your compromised character makes you a person who believes that it's more important for other people to serve you than it is for you to love them. You got your steel-toe boots on this morning? What does your conduct reveal about you? What does your conduct reveal about your character? What does your conduct reveal about your walk with the Lord? Now, I get it. We all have bad days, right? Some days we just get frustrated. We get irritated. We get annoyed. And I'm certainly at the front of that list. I've got two kids at home. I love them. Sometimes they annoy me and frustrate me. But I love them. But I'm human. Sometimes I get, when I'm tired or stressed, I get cranky. We all have times where we're human, where we deal with some of those feelings, emotion, but the real test is not how we feel in those times. We're emotional people. We're going to feel certain ways. But the question is, the real test is, how do we act in those times? Not how do you feel, but how do you act? Once again, if we're looking for consistency, we got to look to Christ for the example. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus' conduct show? Jesus' conduct showed that he was going to love above all else. Jesus' walk was demonstrated by his consistent communion with the Father. He consistently spent time with the Father. His character was demonstrated by his consistent faithfulness to the Father. He was going to be faithful to the Father above all else. And so that means he was going to resist temptation. Then his conduct was demonstrated by his consistent love from the Father. The love of the Father was flowing through him in his encounters with people. There are two examples of that come to my mind. They both surround Jesus' death. The first one was when he was in the upper room. John chapter 13. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. John chapter 13, Jesus is at the table with the disciples, and he knows that Judas had already kind of betrayed him. That Judas was going to fully betray him. He knew that that was happening right there that moment. He knew that Peter was about to deny him. He knew that all of his disciples were about to abandon him. He knew the excruciating suffering that he was about to experience on the cross. So if ever Jesus had an excuse to be irritated or frustrated or angry, it was in the upper room. It was at that moment. But what did he do? John 13, 4 through 5. He got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. In spite of his feelings, Jesus' conduct remained consistent with his character, remained consistent with his spiritual walk. We see that again in Luke chapter 23. Jesus was beaten. He was mocked. He was nailed to a cross. You couldn't blame him if he wanted to call down curses from heaven and strike the people down. James and John, should we call down lightning from heaven? This was Jesus' moment. I'll show you all for putting me on the cross. I'm going to call down lightning from heaven. I'm going to kill you. You try to kill me. But what did Jesus do? Verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Look at the context of that. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Right there in the midst of it, as he's suffering on the cross, as soldiers are gambling for his clothes, instead of calling curses down from heaven, he asks the Father to forgive them. That's the conduct that came from Jesus. That's the consistent conduct that came from the godly character that came from that communion with the Father. Now, obviously, Jesus is the Son of God, and we're not, right? But at the same time, Jesus showed us a perfect model for how to live a life that's consistent and live a life that will bring consistent impact. It starts with communion with the Father. Are you with the Father consistently? Are you with the Father consistently? And what does it look like for you to be with him and to be more engaged with him? What does it look like for you to be with the Father, and what does it look like for you to be more engaged with him? What I mean by that is it's not, oh, I'm going to spend time with the Father, all right, I'm going to hurry up and open my Bible, okay, oh, I did my Bible reading for the day, I'm good. Am I fully engaged with the Father? Is that showing my heart to that I want my heart to be in sync with him? Does that mean that I'm coming to him just to be with him? Or does it mean that I'm coming with him to check it off my list? I'm coming to him just because I need something? My walk with the Father, am I communing with the Father? Am I allowing that to impact my character? Who am I when nobody else is around? Am I resisting the temptation? Am I committed to remain faithful to the Father no matter what? Or do I allow my selfish heart to take center stage? And when it comes to my conduct, am I treating people in a way to where I expect them to be serving me, or am I treating them in a way to where I look for opportunities to love them? Even when they frustrate me and annoy me. Even when they don't get my order right. Lord, those going to the restaurants, please cause the cook to give them a messed up order today. Test them. Some of you are like, no, curse you, Pastor. No, you're supposed to love me. But those are the true tests of our character. Those are the true tests of the consistency of our walk with the Lord. Teresa, will you come? This morning, what I encourage you to do is just take a moment. If you serve the Lord, if you love the Lord, will you just ask the Lord to do an assessment of your heart? Will you just ask him to do an assessment of your life? Say, Lord, search me. Is my heart in sync with yours? Or is my heart focused just on me? Are my selfish desires creeping in? Am I making it all about me? Am I making it about my pleasures and my desires? Am I making it about expecting other people to serve me? Or am I looking to love other people? Lord, search my heart. If you find that your heart's not in sync with the Father, that your character's been compromised, that your conduct's been inconsistent, then your next step is just to commune with the Father. If you want to do that today, maybe you're going to go home, you're going to go back to your routine or whatever, you just need to hit pause. Guess what? Now's your time. I'm going to give an old-fashioned altar call. If you need to come and just commune with the Father a little bit, will you come? Will you come? Don't wait on anybody else. Maybe you've gotten so busy. Maybe your time with God has become a checklist. Maybe you realize that your character's not exactly where you want it to be, that your heart's not completely in sync with where it needs to be. You come and just commune with the Father. Say, Lord, I'm not coming seeking anything but you. I just want to meet with you. I just want to seek you. If you want to turn around and kneel at your seat, you can do that. If you want to come to the altar and kneel, you want to stand, you find your place. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a relationship with God, you never started that walk. That walk comes through Jesus. By believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that He rose again. You say, Lord, have my heart. I'm going to follow you. Put my heart in sync with you. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your example. If that's you and you've not made that decision today, will you come? Will you come as a bold step of faith and say, today, I'm giving my heart to Jesus? If you're watching online, will you kneel wherever you're at and do the same thing? Give your heart to Jesus. If you need to go, God bless you. You can quietly exit. We ask that you not disturb those who are seeking the Lord. I'll give a formal prayer and closure here in a few minutes. But if you can stay for just a little bit, will you stay and just commune with the Lord? Just be with Him and allow your heart to get in sync with His. Let's do that this morning. Build that communion with God into your schedule. I want to give you just a very simple invitation. Every Sunday from 9:15 to 9:40, we open up this sanctuary for prayer. you're coming to church already, build this into your schedule. Leave a little bit early and come and just be with the Lord. Build it into your schedule that even if I get so busy, this is my one next step to build that consistency of being with the Father. I'm just going to come a little bit early. I'm just going to seek the face of the Lord. I'm going to use that time Sunday morning to get my heart in sync with the Lord. Throughout your week, look for those other opportunities. I said for years, I've told teenagers in youth ministry, some of my best time with the Lord is in the shower. Nobody's around, no distractions. It's driving in the car, turning off the radio, just being with the Lord. Find those times to be with Him. It's not rushed. It's not hurried. You can be with Him so that your heart can be in sync with His. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? I'm going to invite Pastor Jeff, will you come and close us with a word of prayer as we take this and apply it and live it out? Cross family, I love you. I thank God for you. Pray that Christ will live in your hearts because of your faith. I pray that your lives will be strong in love and be built in love. I pray that you will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love is. So with the wisdom of God the Father, the love of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, let's change the world. How do you change the world? It starts with your communion with the Father, which spills over into your character, which then is seen by others through your conduct. That's how we make an impact that'll last. Let's be people who represent Christ and are consistent like Christ. Amen.